The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Everyone do me a favor and read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men, it doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is the Tokens Radio Show. My name's Christy Matthews.
Again.
It's like, what happened to the mic?
We're back.
Yes, yes.
Hey, you guys.
Well, it's good to be here. Today is Sunday, February the 5th, and we're broadcasting live from the studios at KCNR in Redding, California. My name, well, we already introduced ourselves. We'd like to welcome Nathan, who's producing the show today.
Yeah. How you doing, good afternoon. Nathan?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Sorry, well,
good afternoon.
For us this afternoon, it could be morning for
it's
you.
It's morning somewhere.
Yep. Yes. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, as they say, right?
We've revamped our website at tokensradioshow.com. There's some cool stuff up there, and you can find our archive shows there. And you can get links to Twitter and Telegram. If you like to go to them directly, that's at Tokens Radio Show. That's at Tokens Radio Show on both Twitter and Telegram. And our phone number, if you'd like to call in, is 530-605-4567. And I believe the chat room is open.
The chat room is open.
Excellent.
And no problems so far today with the chat room.
Yeah. Well, Bitcoin took a little bit of a dip. Right now it's at 22,903. Ethereum's at 1621. XRP is at 39 cents and XLM is at 9 cents. And we're going to continue looking at the news this week. And in the meantime, let's draw a card and see what kind of crypto terminology
here
we're going to come up with. Let's see. That one looks interesting.
Okay.
Edumacation.
Edumacation? So it's education. The education category is meant to encourage and empower your self-development. Education is the process of learning and acquiring skills, knowledge, habits, values, and morals, and will affect the way one thinks, feels, and acts. This process of personal growth is a key to greater success and reaching your higher potential. Educate yourself and others and create a brighter future for all. Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. Nelson Mandela.
Oh, cool. You know, we love going through these this card stack that we have of various terms. And just like anything else, when you're learning a new technology, a new language, there's new words. And it's always worthwhile to go through this, and this is why we bring a new word to you every week.
Right. And that's why we do what we do. It's the education piece. We're always talking about educating people and having those people help educate people. That's what it's all about.
It sure is. Well, you know, this has been kind of a quiet week in terms of Bitcoin news and Bitcoin-related news. Some interesting things have developed, and some of these highlights will be very short-lived. We'll read the highlights, headlines, and that would be pretty much it.
Right.
The first one we have is FTX. It's actually called All the FTX Films and TV Series in Production Right Now.
Surprise! Not.
I think that's the story right now. With the biggest Ponzi scheme to date, there's going to be quite a few movies about this, and we're just going to go make a felon that much more popular.
Right. Instead of just letting it go.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's see if he gets convicted first.
I know that the judge is telling him to quit talking to people, and you know he can't seem to quit contacting people that are involved in this Ponzi scheme and all this illegal activity.
Well, and the way he's contacting them is through Signal.
So well, yeah, that's true.
He's doing it on an encrypted an encrypted messaging network, which is not too cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So the judge is telling him either you back off or what. So we'll see.
So either he's just stupid or stupid as a fox.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to put it. Yeah. I don't think he's stupid, but he may be somebody's puppet. But yeah, it's kind of interesting, all the different stuff that's going on. And just like a lot of the stories nowadays, the news cycle, what it seems like here on one day isn't the same. And pretty soon you got all these different feeds coming out and all this different evidence. And you go, oh, so that's the real story to what's happening here.
Well, the real story with FTX is that we're going to find out about all of the collusion that was happening. That is really the story. And all of this other stuff is just to distract us and think about other things other than what's really going on and how close this was to our political structure.
Yeah, and who was actually involved with it.
Exactly.
For sure. Which we know, but yeah. So anyway,
it's just conspiracy now, but we've been right on these conspiracy
theories.
That's true.
But yeah. Hollywood never misses an opportunity to make money or try
to. Well, they usually project the truth of what's happening. So, not that they're factual, but they're projecting their own crimes.
Well, that's true. Good way to put it, yes. So,
did we beat that up enough?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
All right. So, shall we? The next one is FIS enables real-time payments for Singapore's Trust Bank. So.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting one.
It's the first digital native bank, which will utilize FIS Open Payments Framework in ISO 222. It's a native real-time payments platform. That ought to be interesting. It's kind of interesting that it's in Singapore, but they don't have the regulations like a lot of places.
Yeah, it seems... I think it does make sense that they would start there, and it's the first digital bank. Well, and it makes sense that they're going, you know, to operate as a bank and a digitally native bank, that they would also go with a digital payment network, such as an ISO 20022 system. You're probably going to see XRP. You're going to see SWIFT running all through this.
Yeah, it's actually, now that you bring that to my attention, they do a lot of transactions, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's a small bank and they're not doing very many. They're saying, 400,000, get more than 400,000 with 6 million transactions in four months. That's a lot.
Yeah, they built their customer base very quickly.
So.
Let's see, and they're... What else is in this article that seems interesting? I think that's pretty much
about it. Well, maybe about the cloud a little bit. You know, the cloud is starting to get involved in more and more things.
With the cloud in such, in which way?
For the payments, I understand, from what it's saying. The cloud native solution will allow trust to scale payments volumes as the bank continues to grow its business. So maybe they're able to do more transactions that way through the cloud? Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, it's saying it was born in the cloud and supported Singapore's ambitions to strengthen its financial sector for the future digital economy. So I'm not sure how much of that is, you know, cloud-based or what, but it does have to run through the ISO 20022 system, which we all have been hearing so much about, XRP, SWIFT, and so forth. So we'll see how all of that plays out.
All right. Okay. Next one, UK Treasury publishes crypto framework paper. Here's what's inside.
Yes, that's an interesting one. And surprisingly, in the UK, not the stringent crypto regulation that you would expect to hear. They produced an 80-page document, covers a broad range of topics, from the troubles of algorithmic stablecoins, very much like the Terra Luna coin, and initial coin offerings and NFTs.
The proposals seek to place the UK's financial services sector at the forefront of crypto and thus avoid the hardline control measures.
And I think that's positive.
Yeah, that is.
And you know what happens over across the pond? Generally will happen here, too, and vice versa.
Right. It usually comes across, and we adopt it, or like you say, vice versa.
So right now they're looking for responses from all stakeholders, including crypto firms, financial institutions. So the consultation period will end on April 30th. So it should be interesting what the suggestions are that comes out of this. But right now it doesn't look too bad.
No, it doesn't. The companies will not have to regularly report on their market data,
which
is a huge thing, that's for sure. That'll can make a big difference for some of these companies.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we had a Federal Reserve hike this week. It was a quarter of a point. And, of course, the information that we get about the economy is always lagging. So it's what's happened or from past months up to this period of time, but maybe not currently.
Right.
I mean, if you were to ask somebody right now, how do you feel about egg prices? They're going to say they're astronomical. I can't afford them. I'm not buying them anymore, whatever the case is. But yet the Federal Reserve's numbers are saying, well, we still have job growth and the economy is still buzzing along just fine.
But yeah, Bitcoin, I'm not sure where they're seeing that, but okay.
Exactly. And Bitcoin did fine. It wasn't affected by the interest rates at all. And it touched the 24,000 mark on Wednesday night, rising levels that we haven't seen since, August of last year?
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
It's incredible.
That's for sure. You know, I was talking to some people ahead of my office the other day about the economy and Bitcoin and gold and silver and everything. They go, yeah, but you know, Bitcoin went way down and you're going to lose money. And that and it's like, well, you can't look at it that way. Just like with the gold and silver. And we've talked about this many times that you can't look at it that I bought it at this price and now it's that price and I'm losing money. So that means it's all going to fall apart. You just can't do that. And then I explain hodling to them and they go, huh. Never thought about that. It's like, yeah, it's a whole different way to think about your future with Bitcoin. They go, oh, maybe now I need to look into it. I'm kind of interested now in it. It's like, okay, that'll work.
Well, a thought that just came to me is we were talking here off air about a comment that I made to somebody, and I go, yeah, it's kind of nice right now that it only takes a half a Litecoin to fill my gas tank rather than 1.5 Litecoins. And so I think it goes to the point of what you're trying to say. You can't look at the price and relating it to dollars. All I know is that right now it's going to take me a half a Litecoin to fill my gas tank, and I'm very happy about that because Litecoin is running right about $97 right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it's like anything when it comes to investing or your future financial thing.
Right.
You can't always look at the price, whether it's going up and down, because it's the value down the road. You know, so many people don't freak out.
Well,
you know, don't do.
Does your dollar go up like that? I mean, here the Litecoin example is, well, okay, there was a dip and there was an opportunity to get more Litecoin.
Right.
So that happened. And yes, it took 1.5 Litecoins to fill the gas tank, especially when the gas prices were much higher. In fact, they're going up now. But now that Litecoin has recovered and doing fairly well, it's taken a half a Litecoin to fill the same gas tank, and prices of gas is relatively the same.
Right.
But my dollar bill hasn't gone up like that.
No, actually,
my
lately
you
can feel the dollars going away faster lately. Even though, like you say, the gas prices are about the same. But if you live on a budget or you get a paycheck weekly or whatever it is or monthly, you notice that, wow, I don't have as much money left over, and it's not like I'm spending it any differently, really. or going out and buying huge, you know, items or anything. But I don't have as much money left over at the end of the period. It's like, huh, this is not good. So maybe I need to look at other things.
There's a question in the chat room by Wisdom Wonders. Yes, Wisdom, that is me. I am the person listed on the ballot. And I am listed as an entrepreneur just because of the things I've done as a living. I do not work at this point. I do entrepreneurial type of things, and I'm blessed to be able to be on this radio show here with Linda.
Well, you wear many hats.
So thank you for submitting that question. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. So let me... So do you think, before we move on, you know, they say that the feds won't raise the interest rates again, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Well, you know, Powell has been a little bit dovish, so he's not as hawkish as he was. But I think that they know that we were on the border of wrecking the economy, and something has to break before yes. they ease the monetary policy. From what I'm reading is that reverse repo market is dry. I mean, there is no liquidity in there whatsoever. But we're taking in the dollars. We're not putting the dollars out.
Right.
So we're lessening the monetary supply right now. Eventually, once something breaks, maybe we go into recession or whatnot, they're going to ease that up and they're going to print more money. There's really no other way around this. What they should really let the thing do is break.
Hit bottom.
They didn't do this in 2008, and here we are right now, and they'll probably use the same tactics.
Oh, the debt ceiling. We have to raise the
right.
debt ceiling.
And until the new monetary system is fully put into place, I don't think they're going to let this thing fall apart, which is one of the reasons why we talk about, and we'll talk about this later, is about a parallel economy and
yes.
preparing for this. Because what's coming is not looking too good.
And I'm glad you mentioned the parallel economy. You know, this is something, and we talked earlier about this, that's been going on for a long time, but sometimes we kind of get our blinders on and don't see what is needed to have things carry on or prosper with another parallel economy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get into that in more greater detail
yeah.
later on. So this next article is pretty cool. It is actually historic. So what was inside Bitcoin's biggest block? So you Bitcoin nerds out there, as you know that with Taproot, the block size has increased to 4 megabytes. To communicate a transaction on Bitcoin, they used to run anywhere from 1 to 2 megabytes, with 2 megabytes being the maximum size. Well, Taproot allowed NFTs to be minted on Bitcoin. And I want to be clear, there's Bitcoin blockchain and then there is Bitcoin, the currency. Okay. So this is on the Bitcoin blockchain.
And I learned something, not to interrupt, but I didn't realize that you could have different size blocks.
Well, there is a maximum size block.
Right, yeah.
And this one took up so much data that it nearly maxed out the block. Because normally you would have a number of transactions within a block,
mm-hmm.
and then the miner who would be awarded that block would be awarded the tokens, okay, 6.25 tokens. But this one took up 3.96 megabytes. It was close to the block's size limit.
Yeah.
And what it was is a huge meme. And what it says, taprootwizards.com, magic internet JPEGs. And it was just it's kind of an interesting art picture here. It's a character, I don't know, maybe a wizard, with a beard and sunglasses on, bald head.
Oh, yeah, the Taproot guy. Wizards.
Exactly. Is that what it is, Taproot? Okay. But nonetheless, it was interesting. It made some history here. It upset some miners because they're not getting the block rewards for this ordinal on there. And the way Bitcoin works is by consensus, and Taproot was agreed to by the miners to allow this to happen.
Right, yeah.
And they're probably going to go back and look at this and see if this is something that's going to be worked out of the blockchain down the road. But basically the way mining works is that miners are going to take the highest fees and process those blocks first over the others. This is not creating any kind of fees for them. So who knows how long this block would take to get processed.
It's pretty interesting because, like I say, I didn't realize there was different sizes to the blocks or anything about it. You know, when you first started, at least I did, you just looked at the blocks and the information and never gave it another thought how much information or what was actually in the blocks.
Yes. It says in the tease on this, Luxor Mining and popular Bitcoin figure Yudi mine the largest Bitcoin block ever, blah, blah, blah. And the magic internet money a meme featuring a Bitcoin wizard. It had 63 transactions in total, including the 6.25 Bitcoin worth $149,000 Coinbase reward, which went to Luxor. So this is not by fees paid by the users on the the network. Anytime somebody walks by,
I know
that window,
we're both like boom right to
now.
The window, because you never know what they may do out there. Sorry about that.
So nonetheless, this looks interesting. I'm not so sure if Bitcoin is the place where we want NFTs, but we'll see what happens. And really, an ordinal is just a pretty cool name for an NFT. So,
right.
Why Bitcoin exists?
Well, I was trying to get there, but sorry. My computer, there, it's going to come up. It's like, come on, why does Bitcoin exist? You know, Bitcoin was not created, you know, a lot of people looked at cryptocurrency, you know, get rich quick. And it did work for some people in the beginning. They paid attention, invested their money, got out, made money. But that is not why Bitcoin was created, was not to get rich quick.
Can I interject here just so that our listeners know? This was an article written by Tomer Strohlite, and he did this article for Swan Bitcoin.
And it was written on the 24th. Sorry.
Yeah, no, year. It's okay. But just so it tees that up, if you're ever trying to find Tomer, he's on Twitter, and you can find him under Swan Bitcoin as well.
Okay, so Bitcoin was created to serve a very specific purpose. If it did not serve the purpose, it would not be worth anything. Fortunately, it does, and it was carefully and meticulously engineered to serve it precisely. You know, whoever or one person or the group of people that came up with Bitcoin, it's pretty remarkable. And I don't know, should we start this or maybe pick this up on the other side of
Nathan,
the break?
Where are we at?
We are good on time. We're right there.
Okay, should we go to break?
I think we'll go ahead and go to break and then come back in 3 minutes. So we will see you on the other side and pick this up.
Sounds good.
All right.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready. 8-week online or in-person classes available. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready. 8-week online or in-person classes available. Enroll at shastacollege.edu.
And welcome back.
I like that song.
You like that song?
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, we've all been down in the ghetto and the gutter and, you know, had rougher times and seen better days. And so, in a matter of speaking. But we're learning.
Yes.
We're learning. Yeah. We're learning. So before we went to break, we were talking about Bitcoin. And why Bitcoin? And the purpose of Bitcoin. So Bitcoin's purpose is to provide reliable money that will serve all mankind forever. That is a pretty lofty goal, serving all of mankind forever.
Yes, indeed.
So was there ever a problem with Bitcoin in the first place?
Well, our money is unreliable. Or is our money unreliable?
Yes.
Does it really fail to serve all of mankind?
Yes.
Are its days numbered?
I think so, yes. I have to say yes,
yeah,
to all that.
And the sad fact to the answer to all these questions is yes.
Yeah. We all know we're seeing how unreliable money is right now, and it is losing its purchasing power. You see that every day out there through this inflation that we got going on, whether it's, you know, your groceries, your gas, whatever it is, you can definitely experience that right now.
And the volatile economic cycles that destroy capital, jobs, wealth, and stability. I mean, I can remember four recessions just working in real estate. You know, the four recessions, and if you look over a period of 30-some-odd years, that's happening like 7.5 years on average. We're going into an economic catastrophe to some degree.
That's crazy when you think about it in those terms, really.
Yeah.
It's not like that's a long time.
There isn't.
Some
are long-lived. I mean, we felt 2008. We still feel 2008. But there were others, say like the early 90s or something, we think back, oh, yeah, I remember that, but you kind of came out of it. But they got worse and worse and worse over time.
Yeah.
So this is a very true statement.
Yeah. Does money serve all mankind?
No.
I mean, sometimes the middleman charges excessive fees for stores to send money. We don't have control over that. It's expensive to use internationally, so, you know, to convert money. I mean, I haven't been across the pond or traveled anywhere, but yeah.
Send a wire, it's what, at least $35?
I would say no.
There's a credit card transaction. If you're a merchant, you're looking at what, 3.5%? Just right off the get-go to offer that service to your client to take that card.
Right. And not only that, not too long ago, I went to send some money to a family member, and I was going to get, what do you get from the bank? Not a money order.
A cashier's check.
Thank you, cashier's check. And it would take a couple days to get there. I had to pay a fee. I had to pay for the postage to get there. And then it said it could take up to 2 weeks for the funds to clear, even though I had to give up the money to get the cashier's check.
Right. Yeah. That's just how inefficient the banking system is.
Right.
And currencies worldwide are rapidly losing purchasing power. It's just not here. I mean, we're doing pretty good here, but the rest of the world is not doing too well at all. And throughout history, paper money decreed into existence by governments has failed
every time. Mm-hmm.
That's startling. So we're just waiting for when our time is going to come.
Right.
It's coming.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we can't turn back the clock and go back to gold as our only money.
Right.
You know, it would be nice, I guess, in some ways. But there is alternative, and that's one reason Bitcoin has come into existence.
Well, gold was not secure from seizure, and it's too hard. It's too, I mean, you can't haul
it's
around.
Bulky.
It's bulky. Yeah. And it's difficult and expensive to transport. It's slow to transact.
Yeah, do you remember back when they called in everybody's gold? They wanted everybody to turn their gold in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just a side note. If you were collecting precious metals, if you did have coin minted by our treasury, that is the only precious metals that cannot be confiscated. That's how the very wealthy was able to keep their gold and their silver. Well, the silver wasn't confiscated, but the gold was.
Yeah, they were.
Just a little fact.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So, Bitcoin fixes this? I think so. You know, it was created to do that. To, you know, it was, geez, let me back up. Bitcoin does fix all this.
Yes, it does.
You know, nothing ever before this existed like Bitcoin. You know, we talk about gold and silver and other things, and there was always some medium of exchange and stuff. But Bitcoin is way different. And I think a lot of times people, don't think that it's free from inflation because they look at Bitcoin like the CBDCs.
Right.
You know, that they can be confiscated or like the gold was confiscated. Yeah, it can if you didn't do the crypto hygiene that we talk about. That could happen.
But they
wouldn't
be confiscated in that case. They would just be simply stolen because your hygiene, your security protocols were not. But some government didn't come in and take it. But, you know, it's interesting that how Bitcoin came about, it was a number of technologies that came to work together and in an ingenious and unprecedented combination of technologies. And it created for the first time money that's reliable and serves all mankind that will last forever. Think about the folks in Africa. They're the ones that always come to mind who are using Bitcoin.
Right.
And when you ask them, how would you describe Bitcoin?
Freedom. Freedom.
That's generally
freedom.
What they say, freedom.
Yep. Bitcoin is free from inflation. You know, I was just telling you the story earlier about the clients that I had, that they didn't realize that the supply is only 21 million.
Right.
I guess they thought it would just like fiat money. Somebody was just digitally going to create it forever and ever and ever.
Right. Right. And it's divisible into 100 million units called Satoshis. So when people are saying, well, gee, you know, the value went up, it went down, we have to change our paradigm, our thinking about a new currency. It's like, how many pesos would it take you to buy a cup of coffee? You're not relating that to your dollar.
Right.
So how many Satoshis would it take to buy your coffee or your tea or whatever? So those are the way you have to start thinking about other currencies. We do that in pesos. We do that in other currency denominations that we're familiar with.
Right.
But Bitcoin is just another one to put in there, as well as any other cryptocurrency if that's what you wish to use.
Right. And also, too, it's not like it's all in the market at the same time.
Right.
The 21 million isn't just out there right now, and it's up for grabs until it's all gone. This actually happens every so many years, and I think it takes, 100 years in order for the process to actually start to finish as far as the amount that is in circulation, so to speak.
So 100 years, it started in 2009, so it's going to be going and maxing out well beyond our lifetime.
Yeah. It's going to take a bit. At least, you know, I don't think I'm going to live that long.
Yeah.
And it's benefit for all mankind because it can't be manipulated either.
Yeah.
People don't realize, well, they probably do, but so much of our lives and everything can be manipulated. The currency is manipulated.
Right. By an elitist class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all for them.
Right.
Not for us.
Right.
What is it? All for thee, not for me, or something like that. Yeah, that's exactly the way it is with regular money.
So what you're saying is that they just can't turn on a mining operation and mint as many bitcoins as they wish for themselves.
Nope.
And nobody is prevented from using Bitcoin. So if you don't have a bank account, you're not banked in any way, it doesn't prevent you from using Bitcoin.
Right.
And you just don't have to have your typical cell phone or computer to use Bitcoin. There is other ways to transact in Bitcoin, although not as easy, but you can. You can literally do it on paper as well.
Right. And it doesn't look at anybody. It doesn't matter what color you are, what your job is.
That's right.
How old you are, how young you are. None of that plays a part. How many cashews you bought last week? I mean, what is it? ESG doesn't come into play with it?
Yes.
You know? You don't have a social score. Nobody knows. I mean, I could have zero amount of Bitcoin over here, or I could have 100 Bitcoin, and there's no way that you would know unless I told you.
Exactly, and you shouldn't tell anybody how many Bitcoins or any kind
of going to tell anybody,
currency that you have.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin's forever. Its operation depends solely on the law of physics and mathematics. And these laws will stay in effect unaltered for as long as the universe exists. Because in this crazy, crazy town world we live in right now, math, physics, these are universal laws.
Yes.
Okay, we're not going to be able to alter them or give them a new identity or have them identify as something else. This is the way it is.
Yeah. Yep. That is for sure. So it wasn't created to get rich quick. It was created to preserve the integrity of money.
Boom. That is the key point there.
To make the most of your precious time, your energy, and your life.
Well, let's talk about the notion of going to work. Really, you're renting your time. Notion.
I like that. The notion. That's a notion for most people these days is a notion. I'm going to go to work today.
Well, you go to work.
Yeah.
You are trading your time for money.
Okay. Money is time. Time is money.
And you are taxed. You have money taken.
You have to pay the government.
You earned X amount of dollars, but you're going to receive X amount of dollars because some authority has said, well, we want a little of this and a little bit of that out of your paycheck. And
we know how much you have, so you're going to give us this.
Exactly, and you have no say in that.
Right.
It's very interesting. So with Bitcoin, it is far more has far more integrity, and you will have – if you're paid in Bitcoin, nobody's taking taxes out of it. Now, you may have to declare that on your tax return.
You might have to.
Yes. We'll see how all of that fleshes out down the road. I'm sure.
Yeah, they're still working on that one.
But right now, if I sent Bitcoin to you, Linda, and you send me Bitcoin, it's pure.
Right.
There is no taxation. There's a fee for the transaction, but that goes to the miners who offered us a service to process that transaction. It's a fee that we're glad to pay.
Right. And again, who knows who has what? And what's tied to who. Yeah. You know, that's the beauty of it, that you're not stuck in that monetary system that you can't get out of, you know, kind of like the squirrel wheel or whatever, you know, once you're in it, you can't get out of it. This way, there's no way.
Yeah.
I can't look at you and go, well, yeah, I know you got, you know, look at your bank account.
Right.
I can tell you how much money you're worth, but I can't look at your Bitcoin account unless you let me, which PayPal. You won't. Right. But so it gets you out of that system.
Right.
Where you're under the thumb, you know, you never can get ahead, you're dying, you know.
Right.
It's broken. We know that.
It's reliable money that's going to serve you the rest of your life, and it will serve generations to come.
Yeah.
So it has, it's something that you may want, generational wealth.
Yes.
Yes. What a time that we're in right now.
Oh, it's very
it's
scary.
Exciting.
It's exciting. It's scary. We don't know. You got to have a little bit of fear factor going on because we're in a time of our life that's never happened that I'm aware of anywhere.
Well, we've never experienced the collapse of our monetary system. We've had collapses and they've been propped up. But historically, we've talked about this number of times on this show, that historically monetary systems last about 100 years.
Right.
And this is something, gold has been around 5,000 years or more.
Yeah.
Silver
forever.
Been,
yeah.
And so this is now pure technology driven. Can't mess with it. And that is the times that we're in. So many discoveries have happened in the last 100 years that it makes sense that there's a technology option that gives us more properties and more flexibility than maybe gold will give us.
Right. And it's something that, you know, people say, oh, it's, you know, it's just a push of the button. It's digital. But we've been in this digital cycle for a little while. It just didn't happen overnight.
No, no.
Okay, this has been going on. You don't realize exactly how much we are in the digital system.
We can go down the
economy.
Tesla rabbit hole if we want.
We could.
There are so many discoveries with that man that has just been shuffled away.
Yep.
So
okay.
But I think, you know, that we did a good job on Bitcoin, and we, you know, our reminder that we're very bullish on Bitcoin. We believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we do this show. But there's other things that we need to talk about as well.
And that fits right into the parallel economy, because
well,
that's exactly what it's creating, is that other economy that we need to address.
Right.
That has actually always been there.
Yes.
But we need to, like, bring it forth more.
Yeah. The 800-pound gorilla in the room is the CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies. They're not your friend.
No, they're not.
It's programmable money. So can you imagine having your fiat dollars be on your phone, and the banks, the government says, you know, we sent you your universal income payment this month, and we've noticed you haven't spent it yet. So the $1,000 or whatever it's called at that point in time.
Right.
Fed Gov Now or whatever is.
Loser.
If you don't use it within 45 days, it will only be worth 600 tokens rather than 1,000 tokens.
So you better give it to us right now.
So it's a system that if you're allowed to save, will only be allowed to save if the governmental entity allows you to save it. And I say the governmental entity because a lot of this is driven outside of our country. There's a whole power structure that is putting downward pressure, and the Federal Reserve is just one cog in this entire system.
True.
So they're very bad, and we want to talk a little bit about that and what we can do to stop being affected by CBDCs, because you don't have to be involved with it, but you need to know what to do to identify how you can get roped into it.
Right. And on that line, just to get it out there, CB CBDCs,
yep,
are not the same as Bitcoin.
No, not at all.
Or any of that. It's whole different because I think a lot of times people go, oh, Bitcoin, it's the CBDCs. No, it's two different things. It's like apples and oranges out there.
A CBDC is like your dollar bill that has been printed, you know.
And the Bitcoin is like the gold.
Yes, you cannot just go out and print Bitcoin. It will be mined and generated methodically over a period of 100 mm-hmm. years at least. I think it's going to be mined out in 2430 or something like that from the last thing I saw on that. I might have my dates a little off, but I know it's in 2400. So it's got a long way to go.
Right, exactly. And it's never too late to start protecting yourself against the CBDCs, you know, and please speak up about them and say, no, we don't want this, because you're going right into the same thing we already have. You're not really changing anything from the monetary system that we're in now and all the problems that we're having with it.
Well, a good example of programmable money might be in the, let's say, the SNAP program or the EBT card?
Oh, yes. Okay. The government assistant programs.
Right. So if you have money on your EBT card and you don't use it over a period of time, you don't have it anymore. There's an expiration date on
that. Oh, there is. I did not know that.
I believe there is.
If it's
inactive, it's going to go away.
Okay.
That is a kind of a rogue form of a programmable money. But the other form of programmable money might be that if you're receiving some sort of governmental assistance and at that point in time it's determined that you no longer need it, and you might think, you're giving me a warning. I need it for 3 more months, but no, the government says right now, no, you're done.
You're done.
This is your last check you're getting.
Last
deposit.
Right. Another example is not everybody got the card from the state of California.
Yes.
Or some got a check.
Right.
But most everybody got that little card that had money on it.
Yeah.
And you could go use it anywhere you wanted to. That's another one.
Right.
Now people are getting 1099 for that.
You're going to have to pay tax on that.
Well, we're not.
The
jury's still out on that. But they did send out 1099s.
That's so dirty.
Yeah. I mean, but you're not going to get taxed on it, but they haven't given us clear guidelines to how to treat it, but you did get 1099 for it.
Let's just redistribute that money.
Yeah, so there you go.
So we've got about, 6-7 minutes. Maybe we ought to jump right into how to stop the CBDCs.
Okay.
And what you can do. So if you don't want to be subject to it, and this is some information that was written by Catherine Austin Fitz. This lady worked for the federal government. She was in the Bush administration. She's a definite patriot. She understands this problem, and she's sending warnings to whomever will listen to her all around the world about the dangers of CBDCs.
Right.
So here's some actions you can take. First, you can use cash whenever possible. And as we talked a little bit about a parallel economy, you can simply use cash here locally. Buy locally. Use cash if you can.
Right.
Okay.
I'm getting there.
Next one, you can nurture analog. So there's a healthy balance of using your digital devices and analog transaction options. So what you don't want is an all-digital system, whether it's CBDCs or any other digital mechanisms. Some digitization is both healthy and efficient, but an all-digital system is not. And with regards to virtual anything, it's vulnerable to central control and manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
So just roll back your use of digital systems. Avoid biometric technology as much as possible. And by all means, don't use QR codes. That is very big in the crypto space. I'm not a fan of them.
I'm not a fan of them for anything.
Yes.
I'm not happy. All right.
You can get the invasive surveillance systems out of your home. Have you ever had an Alexa in your home?
No.
And you have it silenced, and all of a sudden Alexa pops up? When that happened to our Alexas, Alexas got unplugged and thrown in a drawer.
You know, I don't have Alexas and have that happen. But even your cell phones,
yes,
will do that sometimes.
Oh, my gosh, it's scary.
Yes, it's very scary.
When Siri's ugly little sister starts talking.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's like, I'm not talking to you.
Okay, seek integrity. You know, always transact with people of integrity, even if to do so appears to cost more, mm-hmm. You know, because that's very important. In the end, the fraudsters and others who contribute to unhealthy systems through their own greed or lust for power cause untold losses. It can happen. You can become a victim if you're not transacting with integrity. People with integrity, you could stand to lose a lot. I mean, that happens across the board no matter what. All those little expenses relating to transacting with integrity can end up being lifesavers. If the alternative is you have assets in Madoff and Lehman Brothers.
Or SBF, Sam Bankman Fried.
Yeah, or yes, we can, don't forget him.
Yeah. The other is to bank at an intimate scale. You want to go to a well-managed local bank or credit union. And
credit
by the way,
better.
Yes, a bank is subject to bail-ins. That's the Dodd-Frank bill. It is in their small print. If you ever taken the time to read the small print in your bank, it is there. Your credit union, you actually own shares in that institution. So that's a good way to go.
Support your state officials who support financial freedom.
Yes.
You know, there is a lot of states. I shouldn't say a lot, but I know like North Dakota. There's a few other ones, Utah, that are starting their own banks.
Right.
You can have that done, too. You want to make sure your elected officials are on the same wavelength as you.
Absolutely. It's imperative that we start educating, you know, out of fairness to our local and county and state federal officials. They've got so much incoming coming at them and so many problems that they have to know about. This might be something that's not hitting their radar or their own self. They're interpreting it to be important for them to
right.
to make time to research it as much, unless you're screaming in their ear about it.
Right.
How about financing your friends and not your enemies? So reduce your number of online and digital financial transactions
yes.
and evolve away whenever possible, which we subscribe buy local.
Yes.
Visit your local rancher, your local dairy. Support them. They are your friends. Your enemies really are the big box stores. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I like convenience. I use, you know, the Amazon service.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get away from that because I want to support our local economy. And I want to start working with distributors of merchandise, because face it, up here in Reading, it's pretty hard to go to the store and buy exactly what you
right.
want. It's not always there. So find an alternative supplier like Amazon.
Yeah. And going back to that, that goes back to parallel economy too, because we're going to have to rely on that.
Right. So absolutely.
Another thing is demand. And pay attention for the U.S. to exit the WHO.
Right.
We don't want no part of that. They're bad news bears, you know. We shouldn't be sending any money that has any ties to do
right.
with the World Health Organization
Absolutely.
At all.
Absolutely.
So get rid of that.
Say no to taxation without representation. The CBDC is a way to implement taxation without being represented.
Uh-huh.
Represented.
See, it's catchy.
Yes.
Warn your family and friends. Once again, education. They need to know about the central bankers and what they are planning to do.
And don't let propaganda convince you CBDCs are okay because they're not.
Yes, and celebrate the opportunity.
Hooray.
All right. Have a good week. We're at the end of the show.
Talk to you later.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.